Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another installment of Magic Pod Squad. This time we catch up with Magic General Manager John Hammond. Always a fun conversation when we catch up with John. We're going to take a look at a number of individuals on this Magic roster, get his thoughts now that the preseason is in the books and we look forward to opening night, his thoughts on Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner, how they did in the preseason. Also, what we can expect for this team moving forward. When can Markelle Fultz and Jonathan Isaac be back out there on the floor, and what does this team look like with those guys back out there? Lots to be excited about, this new look Orlando Magic team. And also, former Magic player Ben Wallace in the Hall of Fame, someone that John Hammond knows very well from his days with the Detroit Pistons. So we'll get a Pistons look at Ben Wallace. So lots to get to on this edition. Magic fans, the Florida Department of Transportation reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. Enjoy this latest edition of Magic Pod Squad as we join Magic General Manager John Hammond.
This is Jalen Suggs of the Orlando Magic.
This is Jonathan Isaac.
This is Mo Bamba.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic, and this is the Pod Squad.
And welcome to another edition of Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli, David Steele, Jeff Turner, George Galante, and we're pleased to be joined by Magic General Manager John Hammond. And John, it may not mean as much to you, but boy, it means a ton to us to be back around the team, to be back by the floor, to interact with you. I'm sure you guys didn't miss us nearly as much as we missed you, but it's nice to have some bit of normalcy to start this here preseason.
Well, is it ever? Is it ever? And don't think that anyone on this Zoom was not missed, because everyone was missed for sure. So great to see everybody. Great to have everyone back around. And even we got exhibition games going on, you know, we got fun crowds, they're into the games, they're enjoying it. You can kind of see everyone's kind of starved for things like this, entertainment like this.
You're exactly right, and we'll get into the preseason and all that, but I got to get your thoughts on, you got a guy in Jeff Doughton, right? This is a guy that's trying to make a name for himself in the NBA. He hits the game winner against the Boston Celtics. You've been a part of so many preseasons, so many training camps. Do you remember situations like this where a guy kind of had a big moment in a preseason? And how happy are you for a guy like Jeff to have a shot like that?
Wow. I mean, Dante, you're talking about 33 preseasons now. So probably was a moment, but I got to be honest with you, I can't remember it.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, that was, you know, so neat for a guy like Jeff. You think about that. Talking about like the minimal experiences I've had as an athlete, and I don't forget those. And it was nothing of the magnitude of a exhibition game, NBA home game, shot at the buzzer to win it. So he's, you know, and he's a great young guy, very quiet young fella. But you know, he's working hard and he does a good job for a G League team. And, you know, a guy like that's looking for a break to become an NBA player.
David, fun, John. You heard RJ Hampton say last night, RJ Hampton said, "We're just a bunch of kids who love playing basketball." And I thought that was awesome. What's your assessment of the preseason in this group you have here, John, as we get ready to start the season?
I don't have one now. I'll take RJ's. I love that. That put a huge smile on my face. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of truth to what he said. And we do have a lot of young guys, and there's going to be some growing pains this year. There's no doubt whatsoever. But with that being said, we're hoping that the young guys are going to get opportunities. They're going to get a chance to play. They're going to be forced out there to a certain extent. But along the way, you know, we're going to be adding guys during the season, which I think will kind of be, you know, good pick-me-ups for the guys on the roster, for the coaches, for everyone in the basketball side of things, for our fans, for everyone that, you know, we'll add Chuma Okeke shortly. We'll add Markelle Fultz after that. We'll add Jonathan Isaac. So as we're going through it, if there are some early growing pains, everyone's still got a chance to look over their shoulder and say, yeah, but he's coming, you know, and oh, by the way, he's coming too. So I think that can help us. I don't know that that's going to be it wasn't by design that for that to work that way, but you know, it could turn out to be maybe a good result for us as those guys do come back.
John, give us your take so far in the early part of this, with preseason now completed and everything, on the job that Jamal Mosley's doing. I just can't tell you how impressed David and I have been. We're close. We're hearing him talking to the team, the chance to be around practices and watching him work. Just a really impressive guy who's in a dream position for him, a guy that's worked real hard.
Mm. That's interesting, Jeff, you know, because you and David are closer than I am during games. So, you know, you're hearing some of the things he's saying, and I'm happy to hear that you're impressed with what you are hearing and some of the teaching that he's doing. I can tell you from a practice standpoint, he's done a really good job. You know, he's an interesting guy. He's a very positive guy. I think he'll remain that. I think he'll remain that as a person. And as a coach, in through the season, and I think even beyond, I think that's kind of who he is at his core. And you know, he's I think he's tried to kind of keep things a little simple early for us, which is probably a good idea. In practice, when he's had opportunities to make teaching points, I think they've been very good and very solid. You know, I always go back to my time with, you know, a Hall of Fame coach like Larry Brown, having a chance to coach under him and then worked with him in Detroit in the front office. And, you know, there's this mystique about some of these coaches and like what makes them great. And a guy like Larry, it was simple core teaching points over and over and over. And I've kind of felt that a little bit with Jamal here early on, not trying to reinvent the wheel, just trying to teach them the game from a simplistic standpoint. And you know, there's a little bit of teaching guys how to play. And I think he could be one of those guys. He could be a coach like that.
Has he exceeded some of that? I'm sorry, David. I was going to ask.
No, go ahead. Follow up, Jeff.
Has he exceeded your expectations? Because you make a hire, a guy that's never been a head coach. Great pedigree, right? He's learned under a lot of guys. He's positive. I'm guessing the interview was great. We can see his personality. But has he, as so far, exceeded your expectations about what he's done on the court and how he's handled himself with the team? Or is it about what you thought it was going to be?
No. I think that's the case. You know, you hate to say after a week or two of practice and after you know, four exhibition games that he's exceeded expectations. But, you know, the expectations are going to start coming as the games begin.
Sure.
And, you know, but the great thing for him as a young coach and a, I think, first year coach is that he is going to be given a chance to grow with this team. You know, you hope for a guy like Jamal, because he is such a, you know, a high character guy, that you hope that he can be a young coach that can grow with a young team, grow with them, and grow into a successful coach as the team becomes more successful. You know, some of these things can be pretty bumpy rides, as we all know, you know, getting to that point. But I think he is one of those guys that can be that coach that you know, takes that ride with us and can be a coach that can grow with the team.
You know, we've also been really impressed with the staff that he's brought in. And we talked with Coach Mosley about this, Jeff and I did the other day, about how all four of the guys that the new guys that came in, they have some head coaching experience in the G League. Was that by design? How big of a factor do you think that is for Jamal on that staff?
I think it was a factor. I think it was a factor, no doubt, that those guys all have had opportunities to call timeouts. And, you know, draw up last minute plays and end out and side out situations. Those are all, and run a practice. That's great. You know, he's mentioned it a couple of times that maybe hiring even more of a veteran coach, and he didn't do that, but I think that was kind of by design to a certain extent. You know, you look at a guy like Nate, that guy's been around, and, you know, he's been through a lot of different circumstances and he's been under some real veteran coaches himself and has had some great experiences and a long run in Portland. And so, I think, a guy like Dale, same thing, had a great run as an assistant and has been a head coach. So there are some, I like our staff and, the other guys, with them, with, Brett, Jesse, all I think all really good hires, and they're bringing good energy. And I think, thus far our guys really enjoy them.
John, when Jamal and the coaches come to you and Jeff and say, listen, guys, we want to put a giant bell on the practice court. We want to put this enormous giant blue bell. What's your reaction when they come to you with something like that? And then I want to know who installs the bell. Where did the bell come from? Because I think Dante wants to hang one on his porch to call the girls in for dinner. I really, he sees this big blue Magic logo bell. And I think he's got some ideas at the house.
Yeah, I would say a bell like that would be a very good thing for Dante to have at his house.
Right.
You know, I know
little,
my mom.
If I get a little hustle out of my daughters, that'd be great.
I know my reinforce winning decisions, right?
Yes, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But the bell, I'm not a gimmick guy per se, but a little bit. I like that. Coaches coming up with, new thoughts and creative ways to get their guys motivated. And so the bell, I, to be honest with you, I think Murph found it somewhere online. and then the question is, I'm not sure how the doggone thing got painted and everything else, but, and I sure as heck have no idea how that thing got hung. I just walked in. I remember Murph saying, hey, I knew the concept of the bell. Murph saying, hey, trying to order a bell. I'm where do you get one from? Looking online, all this kind of stuff. And then I do kind of remember it arriving. And then next thing I know, it's painted with, the magic blue and all that stuff. And so, neat concept, fun concept. Guys like that stuff. And it's great to, to be, say, here's points of significance, and, to make that extra pass, to take that charge, to, when those things happen, for the guys to ring a bell, it might sound a little collegiate, might sound almost kind of high schoolish, but it's not. Guys love it and guys enjoy those sort of things.
And does it work with this group because we're so young, as opposed to, take a really veteran laden team and it maybe doesn't have the same effect, and they look at you like you have to, what do we need a bell for? But it works with this group. They really seem to gravitate when the bell gets rung.
I think you're probably right. I'm not sure the Laker roster is, as it's set today, would be run just having a bell rung during practice.
Right.
Maybe they would. I shouldn't say that, but I think with our team, it is something that, can be a positive. And I you're right, George. Our guys do enjoy it. They like it. It's kind of a, it's fun, but it's also a great teaching tool.
Give us a little insight, John, if you would, to your two rookies. They've now gone through their first training camp in preseason. Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner. What did you see? What was the message for them? Maybe some of the things you were watching for them in the preseason, and what will you be watching for them as they start the year?
Well, starting with Franz, I think that, what he's done thus far in practice and even in his exhibition games, is kind of a little indicator of who he is. He's a player who's going to be out there making the right plays all of the time. He makes the right pass, the simple pass. When he puts the ball on the floor, it's always a good decision as he's doing it. He's not forcing things. Defensively, I think he's going to be solid. He's smart. He's going to be handsy. He has some very good tools in that regard. I think his true growth, to be honest with you, is going to be simple. As he shoots it better, he's going to become even a better player. And I think the shooting part is as much as anything, just gaining his confidence. That's all. Start believing it's going to go in. You make a few and you get a little run, and you maybe can carry that into another game and another game. But with that being said, all those other things are kind of there already. So, you know, there's a great base to work from with him, and like him very much. Great young guy. So I think he's going to be a great fit for our team. That, you know, you look and say, hey, could you march out there someday with, you know, Jonathan Isaac at the four and Franz at the three with that kind of size, and Franz being the kind of ball handler and play, and smart player that could do that. It could be kind of fun looking into the future. And then, you know, right. A guy like Jalen, the guy just has a lot of tools. And, you know, Jeff, I don't know what you would say about this, but, you know, you look at players and you say, do they come in? I'm sure it's each player can be a little different, but for the most part, it always seems to me like guys have a hard time initially in the NBA defensively. You know, guys can come in, they know how to handle, they know how to create a shot. Those guys that can, you know, that can shoot the ball, they do all those things, but the defensive end is a real kind of a quandary for guys. This guy defensively, he's got a chance to be really, really special defensively, you know. And once again, I hate to mention Jonathan Isaac's name again, but, you know, Jonathan was on his way to becoming an all-league defender, maybe first or second team all-league defender. And, you know, you put a guy like a seven-footer that has that ability, you put a guy who can guard a point guard spot and a two-guard spot and probably even a three spot to a certain extent, a guy like Jalen, he locks in on you. He's really, really good defensively. That's just the defensive end. The offensive end, I think it's just going to get better and better and better. You know, we're putting the ball in his hands. I think that's where it should be. That he's going to be a very good decision maker. He's smart. He's tough. Right now, you think in exhibition season, you know, he's just trying to figure out exactly what should I do here? Am I he's a football quarterback. So am I the point guard? Am I the quarterback of this team? That means I can't score. So not I can't score, but I'm not going to look to score. I'm just going to get the ball to other people. That's going to be who I am. And I'll say, the scoring is going to come later. So I think he's going to have to, he'll figure that out. He'll look to be a little more aggressive scoring wise, which I think he needs to do. And then, all the other parts of his game, I think are going to fit really well. And I do think this too, hate to mention these guys, you know, but you say, okay, you know, you talk about Jonathan coming, you're talking about Markel. And you put like Markel and he together on the floor at the backcourt, both 6'5", big, strong guys, both guys that can handle and both guys that can make people better on the floor. I think it'd be interesting with those guys moving forward in the backcourt.
John, I'm glad you brought up Markel. What's great is when I'm at practice or even the game, the games, when he's at the home games, he's very involved. He is really like talking with the assistant coaches. They're in timeouts. He's talking to other players. When we watch him in practice, he's going through a lot of the non-contact stuff. His attitude, he seems to be chomping at the bit to get back on the floor, from what I can see.
That's the understatement of the year. Markel chomping at the bit. That guy is, he is so ready and so wanting to, you know, and, you know, it's interesting. You when you go through tough times with people, you know, the old saying is you find out exactly who they really are. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes maybe you state it too much and you talk about, this guy's a great guy. And, maybe you overuse statements like that at times. But if I can't say Markel, I mean, this guy, he's a really, really special person. You know, he's a pleaser. And at the point guard spot, you want someone with a pleaser, but let me take care of you. Let me help you. That's what he's all about. You know, you can see that in his dealings with his teammates. You can see that in his dealings with his coaches. You can see that in his dealings with the medical staff who he's had to be attached with over the last few months. He's just, I keep on going back. When we acquired him, I was shocked how many people in the NBA that had dealings with him, you know, through the drafts and other situations, reached out to me and said, man, I'm pulling for Markel. You got a good one there. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know. And then when he, you know, comes in and he starts playing and he starts really taking off, some of those same people called back and said, man, I'm so happy for him. He's so deserving of this. So now that I have had a chance to be around him and be with him, I feel exactly like those people. And man, I want it for him so bad. I want it for him to be who he wants to be and really who he is. My guy was the number one pick in the draft for a reason. And, get back to not who he was then, but even back to who he was when he was playing for us. You know, he was on his way to having a really, really great run. And so just get back to that guy and, want it for him.
You know, if that happens, that's a game changer for this franchise and obviously for Markell. Another intriguing storyline that has really interested Jeff and me, and I'm sure all Magic fans, is the Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter Jr. combination on the front line. Was this something that was discussed? Did we see this coming? Or what are your thoughts on those two guys playing together and what that might portend for the future?
No, it really was. It wasn't something that, you know, we went to Jamal with and said, hey, you know, think about playing these guys together. Nothing like that. It's just kind of, I think, his idea to give it a try. And, you know, so we've done it during exhibition season. I have no idea what he's thinking right now going into the regular season. If you continue to do something like that, you know, I do think there's a little bit with, one thing about Wendell is a really good interior defender. He's so strong and so smart in there defending Mo is a great interior shot blocker, not necessarily a great individual defender, but a great shot blocker. So that there's a real positive to that. I mean, you know, like an elite type shot blocker in the NBA. So now you take Wendell and you put him out there guarding on the floor a little bit, guarding some fours. And nowadays people playing smaller, you know, it kind of puts both of those guys. I don't worry about it offensively. I think that offensively they'll figure it out. Defensively, it puts Mo the interior defender you want rather than Wendell, and there's Wendell out on the floor too much defending. But look, this is who we are right now. This is the time when we can have some looks, especially early on like this. You know, you say, like, once again, I keep doing it, but a guy like Jonathan Isaac comes back at some point where, you know, once he's healthy, you're going to say, well, you know, we're going to start him at the power forward spot, right? You know, so that can happen. So this is the kind of time to look at those things, to test those things, see who they are, see how it works.
Is that when Jonathan does come back, can you see the three of them playing together? Or is that, Jonathan does have a little flexibility to move down to the three too. Do you see the three of them playing together on the front court? Because that would be quite a long front court. Yeah. If you kept the three of them out there together.
That 2-3 zone that Jamal threw out there with those three on the back line would be imposing, I would think.
Yeah. I never really thought about that much.
Are you thinking about it now, though?
Well, George, as you bring it up, because one thing, Jonathan is so interesting because, you know, when you talk a guy that can guard, like, you know, three, fours, and fives, he can do that. That's why he's talked, he's going to be talked about as an all-league defender because he can guard multiple positions like that. But, you know, Jonathan's getting bigger, man. He's a big dude, you know, and I swear he keeps getting taller. You know, I think he's like a legit 7-footer right now, and he's getting bigger and he's getting stronger and he's getting mature and he's getting more mature. So, you know, I don't know. Hey, fun thought, George, that's your idea.
Okay.
Well, I think it's interesting. We're seeing why George is not a head coach, and I'm going to show you why I'm never a general manager. Because John, I have no discipline. I would have had Jonathan Isaac and Markell back on the floor in May. Just take us through. Obviously, why that would be a bad idea. I know you don't get into timetables and things like that, but what is the plan to eventually? You know, we are excited. Everybody's excited to see those guys back. What kind of is the plan for the foreseeable future to ultimately get them back?
Now it's time. That's really the plan. It's just take our time, you know. Once again, where we're at, who we're at, who we are today, there's no rush. There's no reason to put those guys out there early. There's no reason to put them at risk. And look, no organization, people don't do that nowadays. You know, sometimes I think, you know, people think, you know, maybe players think to a certain extent, oh, they're going to push me out there. You know, these guys are too valuable to the organizations to ever take a chance. That's not happening. It's not going to happen here, I can tell you that. So It's just, making sure it's the right time for them to get out there and put them in a position where they're going to come back healthy and, more importantly, stay healthy.
John, we had Jamal Mosley tell us the other day he misses the development part of things on game days. He misses being out there on the floor, passing the basketball and rebounding for guys now that he's a head coach. You came in as an assistant coach. Do you miss some of that stuff? Do you miss the coaching aspect of things at times?
Yeah, I get that question asked a lot. I used to be a coach in the front office. Do you miss coaching? And that, it's funny. He talks about the development part because that's the one thing I miss is, and the development part's the relationship part. You're spending all this one-on-one time with guys and, you get close to guys and still have that somewhat today, but it's different when you're in the front office. Players know trades can occur. Players know that, contract negotiations are occurring. Different things are happening. So I think the relationship is good, but it's not like, when you're an assistant coach, those guys know that you're there for them. And they know, in our front office, we're there for them also, but there's also that other side of doing the business.
Is that how you feel? Is that how you feel, Jeff?
No,
you feel the same way when you
play? Funny, but what is John saying about, now you're in the front office, and I used to, I have always had a great relationship with John Gabriel, but as you guys know, David knows for sure, I call John Gabriel the Grim Reaper, right? Because when if John came to practice, if he was around and everything, used to tell people, don't let him put his arm around you. Because if he walks up, puts his arm around you, you're out, man. So just avoid it. Go to the other end of the floor.
I've heard such stories. I'm sure that's very true.
That's great.
Now, what made you want to switch from coaching to get into the front office? When did that decision get made by you? And did you ever want to go back? Was immediately thinking, maybe I want to go back into coaching?
For me, head coached and then had opportunity to coach Joe Dumars in Detroit as an assistant coach. And then when Joe became president of basketball operations in Detroit, he reached out to me and said, hey, would you like to come back with me and work in the front office? So that's how it happened. Nothing more than that. Just experience of being with Joe and my relationship with Joe. And then to be honest with you, when I went to Detroit, we started winning at such an alarming rate and had such a great run there for the 7 years I was there. I mean, never really thought about anything else. Just very happy and thrilled with the opportunity that Joe gave me and to be a part of winning like that at that level was really kind of special. So, and then had an opportunity to get my own job in Milwaukee. So
yeah, that'll probably
never,
do it.
Never really came back.
Right.
John, it's interesting. Ben Wallace goes into the Hall of Fame, and that's a guy that we have a lot of affinity for here in Orlando. He had a great year here. That was a guy, we make the Grant Hill trade, another guy that you're very familiar with, having coached him in Detroit. He was as good as there was. I think 100 general managers out of 100 general managers will make that swap, taking Grant Hill for Ben Wallace. But you got to see Ben become Ben. You got to see him become the Hall of Famer. What can you tell us from that? We never really heard much from the Detroit side of Ben Wallace, kind of the guy he was and the Hall of Famer he became.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's just right place, right time for the guy. And, I think that was the case for a lot of guys on that roster. But watching Ben grow as a player that, just the energy and toughness that he had, the fact that guy's leading the NBA in shot blocks and rebounds at his size. If you look back at history and you look at players who have done such, leading the NBA in rebounding and block shots, that those guys are all giant guys. They're all like the legit 7 foot, 7'1" guys and all the big, big centers. And you think, well, that guy could do that. Ben is not that big. Ben doesn't have that kind of size. He's an undersized center. So to do what he did at his size was absolutely remarkable. When Ben was notified that he was going to go in the Hall of Fame and it became public, I sent him a text and, I felt I really meant what I was saying on the text to him. And it was that you know, if you look at this team and the other starters on this team, you're the one guy that gets in first. I don't know what anyone else is going to get on in there with that team of those five starters. But I said, interesting that you did this, Ben, because you gave of yourself for everyone else. And that's really what he did. You know, I guarantee you, he wanted to score. He wanted to score more. And I can tell you, my office was right there courtside, first guy in every morning working on a shot. You think, oh, it's, wow, it's Chauncey Billups. It's one of the, no, it was Ben Wallace, because he wanted to become a better shooter. And a lot of times the last one to leave was Ben Wallace. So he wanted more, but you know, when it came down to winning, he put all that stuff to the side and said, how can I help you? I mean, we think about all the opportunities that, you know, if Chauncey Billups would ever get in, he should give a big hug to Ben Wallace, because the offensive rebounds that Ben Wallace got and had an opportunity maybe to try to put it back in, he would always turn. And that they always say that one of the greatest highest 3-point percentage shots are off offensive rebounds, because everyone is now sucked in defensively trying to get the rebound. You get the rebound, you kick back out. It's usually an open three. And he just fed those guys shot after shot after shot of kicking back out for open threes and big threes. And, you know, it wasn't about him. It was always about the other guy. So, neat guy, very deserving of it.
You guys remember that? Remember when he came here and he said, oh, sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, remember when he came here and he said, David, he said he was a shortstop in baseball, and they asked him why. And he said, because they said I couldn't do it. No, like a 6'6 shortstop. Remember, we just immediately fell in love with the guy, didn't we?
Oh, that was a unique team, and you know, one that maybe this particular team could emulate. We might have another Heart and Hustle type unit. John, I was going to ask you, we've been around a long time, the late 80s, got into the NBA. What are a couple of the things that you've noticed that have really strike you about how things have changed, the way the NBA is played now, the way it's operated? Just give us your perspective on where you think the league is today as compared to when you came in back in the 80s.
Well, the way it's operated, I mean, you know, David, it's just like, it's remarkable to me to see the sizes of our staffs. That's the one key biggest difference to me is, you know, when we started the NBA, there was really no such thing as analytics. And I can remember in Milwaukee, we hired our first analytics person. We had one guy, and that was it. Like, who is this guy and what does he do to a certain extent? And, you know, you look at the size of staffs like that. You know, I can remember there was just a trainer. There was just a trainer. And then, now we need a strength coach. So there's a trainer and a strength coach. And maybe get an assistant trainer. And you look at the size of the medical staffs today. You look at the size of the front office staffs today. You know, and so the league is growing. The league is growing on so many different facets. Financially, it's growing. Opportunities for people are growing, which is a great thing. Because there's so many people that want to be a part of this and want to be involved in professional sports and even in the NBA. So, you know, neat to see that happen for a lot of people getting these opportunities. So that's, I would say, like, on how the, you know, league is run internally, at least. You know, and then the game itself, you know, I can remember sitting in GM meetings, because I always went to those. Joe Dumars didn't go to those. He always had me go. So I started going to those probably in the, like, you know, like 20 plus years ago. And I remember the league's point of emphasis on scoring, that we want to get scoring up. And, you know, I remember talking about like the 100-point games. And, you know, how can we create opportunities for people to score? And they talked about, you know, defense and, you know, less hand checking, opening up the court for people. You know, we went away from the, you know, illegal defenses, isolation game, try to speed up the game. That was a huge part too. The game was initially, it was so much of an ISO game dropping the ball inside of the post, giving the guy in the wing, and the defense had to be shifted away from those guys. You know, the way we opened up the court itself, I think it's been a very interesting thing to watch. And then, of course, more than anything, the three-point shot. I mean, that has really, really changed the game. And, I always say, like, you know, I go to a baseball game, you know, I like to see home runs. And I like to see, like, no-hitters, you know, stuff like that, you know, really special moments. And I think in the NBA, people come to the NBA games, they love to see slam dunks, they love to see three-point shots. Those always get the loudest cheers. And you know, the game is changing in that regard. It's big plays, it's scoring, it's open court, it's a faster game. And I think overall, I think people enjoy it. I think fans enjoy it.
That's great. All right, John, we're going to give you one last thing. Just something for all Magic fans as you think about this season, just maybe kind of your final message to them. Obviously, you said there's going to be growing pains, and that we understand that certainly with every young team. So what would the message be, and what will you have your eye on this year? And I guess even to kind of ask, how do you gauge success as we go on throughout the year?
Gauge success by, and David kind of mentioned this a little bit about the old, like, you know, heart and hustle type team. You know, if we're going to use that kind of terminology, that I think we'll gauge success by when you say to the fans, I would think if they walk out of the arena and get in their car to go home, and they can say to each other, hey, not the way they want to lose the game, but hey, you know what? Those guys are playing hard. Those guys look organized. Those guys, and maybe most importantly, oh, just wait. I see a future. I see what that guy can do. I see what this guy can do. You know, so I think that's going to have to be us. You know, we're going to have to gain satisfaction off those kind of things. You know, we don't know what's going to happen this year. I mean, we may come along much quicker than we realize, and maybe a little slower than we realize. But whatever happens, I think that I hope that the people that come to support us can enjoy the ride of this season, and that you know, we you know, grab a big win here, grab a big win there. Who knows? They may come more consistently. They may come less consistently. But most of all, I just hope they're proud of us. That's the most important thing. I just hope they're proud of us.
Kids that love playing basketball, we look forward to getting started for real here next week. John, we appreciate it, and let's have a great year, okay? We look forward to it.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks. John Hammond, Magic General Manager. We'll see you next week.